Genesis chapter 3 in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My text verse is verse number 1. God has given us some great people who have written great works on the manuscripts and God's preservation of His Word. The Masoretic text of the Old Testament, the majority, or the received text of the New Testament, all of those materials reinforce our belief in the Bible. They don't establish our belief. The Bible establishes our belief that the Word of God is perfect and without error, and we can come to that conclusion from the Bible itself. We don't have to have extra biblical exposure to come to that conclusion, but I am thankful for it, and Lord willing, we'll get to look at it this Wednesday night. The name of the sermon tonight is Satan and the Scriptures. You can take it. Genesis 3 is absolutely amazing. It's the first time the devil's mentioned in the Bible. The first time the devil speaks. The first words that God wants us to see that Satan ever said is in Genesis 3. There is so much you can pull and learn from basic Bible truth from Genesis 3. We're going to look at one aspect tonight. God teaches us that the enemy of the Scriptures is the devil. The devil's attack on God's Word predates man's fall into sin. So think about this. Casting doubt on the Scripture, altering the Scripture, all came before sin was ever a part of us. You understand? Before our fall. Genesis 3:1, it says here, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. God uses that word subtle. The word subtle, it's, and you think you know what it means. You think it means sneaky. But when you look up the word subtle in a good dictionary, it means clever, ingenious, crafty, sly, cunning. Interesting word, thin as in oil. Have you ever heard of penetrating oil when a bolt's stuck? You spray the penetrating oil on it? That thin oil is one word for subtle. It's like this. Satan can get into the tightest places, places that you don't think. He's that subtle. Interesting word to think about. That's the word God wants you thinking about when you think about Satan. He's subtle. He's cunning. He's crafty. Satan casts doubt. He starts positive. In verse, he says, yay, yes. Then he starts casting doubt. Hath God said? Hath God said? He starts by saying, are you sure that's right? Are you sure that's true? Are you sure that's translated correctly? Are you sure that that word should be in your Bible? That's kind of an old archaic word. And he gets you questioning, yea, hath God said. That's how come I can take Genesis 3:1 and I can pull this truth from it. Anything that gets you doubting your Bible is satanic. I'm absolutely amazed at how people can listen to other pastors correct the Bible.
Well, that word is tragically translated, and that word should be this, you know.
I'm amazed. I don't listen to other preachers preach who correct the Bible. Somebody said, well, I like Charles Stanley, or I like, and then the list goes on. Why would you listen to somebody preach that doesn't believe about the Bible what you believe? At least I hope what you believe. Your position on the Scripture should be strong. Anything that gets you doubting that is satanic. Any conference or preaching that gets you doubting your Bible is satanic. All the woman had to say was, yes, and then run away. And all of the curse would never have happened. Right? That's all she had to do in Genesis 3. But what Eve did was she entertained the thought that what God said wasn't so. And when she did that, she opened the door to the devil and said, come on in. The moment Satan could get her to question the Bible. Look at verse number 2. Ready? So Satan cast doubt on the word, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. What she couldn't have now becomes the focal point of her thinking. So follow what's happening here. what God didn't let her have became the main thing, her issue. What God gave her was no longer important. She was focused now on what she couldn't have in the garden. Then Eve amplified what God said, or watch, added to his words. Then Eve diminishes the Bible. And when she added to the words, all right, she said, the tree which is in the midst of the garden. She said, do you see the last three words there? Lest ye die. God didn't say that. God said, ye shall surely die. Ye shall surely die. Then look what the words that she took out. All right. So she diminished words. She added words. Look at Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Then Satan directly quoted God and called him a liar. God said, ye shall surely die. And Satan said, you're not going to die. So now God's a liar. Watch this. Genesis 3:5. And God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What Satan told Eve, God never said. But it sounds like he's quoting the Bible, right? Sounds like he's quoting God's word, but God never said that. Not one time. Listen closely. I'm going to draw some conclusions. Once you allow the devil to persuade you that you can add things to the Bible, or take things out of the Bible, or change things that are in the Bible, then you're ready for the devil to walk up and tell you anything. And you'll believe it because you have nothing whereby to determine whether or not it is so. But it all starts with questioning God's word. Then you add to God's word. Then you take away from it. Then you twist it. Now you're open game. Now you're open game. What determines my position on any issue? The Bible should. What determines my belief on my position on socialism? The Bible should determine it. My position on Islam? The Bible should determine it. My position on marriage? My position on androgyny, or the putting no difference between men and women? The Bible should settle my difference and determine what I believe. What do I believe about America as a nation? That's settled by the Bible. What do I believe about music? And we can go on and on. If I don't believe the Bible, then I have a steady stream of satanic ministers saying, God said, God told me, God spoke to my heart, God revealed to me, God gave me a vision, and it goes on and on. I had a dream. I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Remember that garbage? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't see it. He's lying. He's lying. That is a satanic lie. As soon as the devil can get you to doubt one word in God's word, he will substitute that with anything but the Bible. They criticize the Bible as being, well, it's just, you know, spoken by man. Oh, that's just man's words. Isn't that funny, though? They won't believe the Bible, but everything they believe is spoken by a man. Has anybody thought that through? It's weird.
Well, I don't believe the Bible because it's good.
Well, you believe everything else everybody says. That's how come you're, you know, spin job. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 4, okay? Watch this. Matthew chapter 4. Now, we're going to use two scripture tonight. If you'll go to Matthew 4 and Psalm 91. Keep your finger there. We're going to look at Matthew 4 first, and then we're going to go to Psalm 91 in the middle of your Bible. And I want you to see this. We're looking at Satan and the scriptures. Satan and the Bible. It's very important that you understand this. Very important. Matthew chapter 4 and Psalm 91. Look at Matthew 4 verse 5. Ready? Watch what happens here. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, here's the reason, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If there is a passage that shows Satan's subtlety or craftiness, it is how he tempted the Savior. And if you can study this and get this in your mind, how Satan tempted Jesus is how Satan tempts you. The only difference is Jesus won every time. Amen? Satan takes this passage and quotes Psalm 91, verse 9. Now, here's what's amazing. Now, can you go to Psalm 91 and just kind of remember what I just showed you there? Don't lose Matthew 4, but go to Psalm 91, verse 9. So now, he's really quoting verse 11 and 12, but let me start reading here at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This is the protection psalm, right? We learned this kind of when we were going through the Psalms. This is the psalm of protection in the Bible. Notice the two verses Satan quotes. Ready? Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What I'd like you to see tonight is in Matthew 4, when Satan quoted to Jesus Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, notice very carefully the first thing Satan did was he left out four words. Four words. You say, what are they? Do you see the words right there at the end of verse 11? In all thy ways. Satan left that out. He first takes away from the Bible. You say, what does that mean? Ready? Satan is hoping you don't know God's word. Listen, to get God's protection in Psalm 91, if you're not walking in God's ways, God is not going to protect you. You can't live any way you want and count on God to protect you. You can't live for you to make you look good and count on God to protect you. What did Satan tell Jesus? If you are the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, show everybody. And let that lift you up. Let that lift you up. And then, because he leaves out the words, in all thy ways. In all thy ways. Now notice four words in Matthew 4 that Satan added. So Satan takes away four words, right? The end of verse 11. Notice the four words that he adds. Can you go back to Matthew chapter 4? Okay. It says here, do you see verse 6? Let's just read it here. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. Here's the words he added. Lest at any time. Four words added. Four words taken away. Four words added. Why? Why? As you study your Bible, I hope as I think out loud tonight, this helps you. But lest at any time you'll dash your foot against a stone. Listen closely. You can't lie, cheat, steal, covet, be deceitful and manipulative, and not trip and fall on your face. God is not going to keep you from falling if you're not walking uprightly. Satan said, lest at any time. No, that's not true. God doesn't protect you at any time. God protects you when you walk close to him. When you walk uprightly, not at any time. Not at any time. You all see the danger of the four words he added? God said, God is not going to, okay. God said, when you set your love upon me and make me your dwelling place, I will protect you. Satan twists the scriptures and he says, you can live any way you want and nothing bad will ever happen to you. That's, you all see what's happening here? We're just looking at the scripture that Satan quoted. Do you know how many people get bitter at God because they did what they wanted to do and expected God to bless it, and when it didn't turn out right, they get angry with God? I've seen that so many times. When Satan quotes scripture, it's always to exalt himself and to reduce or subjugate the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is not saying that the whole Bible is a lie. He's not saying don't believe the Bible. Satan is using the Bible to give him glory. To give him glory, not God. Satan is saying the Bible says you should fall down and show everyone who you are by a miraculous delivery from a certain death. Now, wait a second. That's what he's telling, right? Takes him up to a high pinnacle and says, if you're the Son of God, just let yourself fall down and let's watch the angels catch you. And what would be certain death for everybody else, that'll prove you're the Son of God. Think about that just for a second. That would have caused so much confusion at the cross. That would have hindered the cross. Think with me just for a second. Because Jesus didn't come to be delivered from death. He came to die and destroy death by conquering it and rising again. He didn't come to not die. So if he would have fallen for the Satan's temptation, just throw yourself down and let God deliver you. Could that have happened? Yes, but Satan said, that's wrong. That would totally go against the reason I came and cause a lot of confusion. How many millions of people went to church this morning and after receiving a nice welcome and a greeting, after a nice song service, they heard a man or a woman take the Bible and twist it like a pretzel so that they thought the most important thing was to love themselves, not love God. They were taught that the most important thing was for God to serve them, not for them to serve God. That the most important thing was for them to forgive themselves, not to experience God's forgiveness for their sin. That's all psychology stuff. That is so prevalent in so many churches, self-help stuff. The humanistic minister didn't take a blowtorch and set the Bible on fire. And then tell them, don't believe the Bible. That's not what happened in liberal churches. He just took a little bit of the Bible, sprinkled it with a little self-love, quoted it with a Disney movie, and then sent the people home thinking that they were the most important thing on the planet. That's humanism. Think with me just for a second. Now, can we go back one more time, Psalm 91? Okay, you kind of keep it there, Psalm 91, right in the middle of your Bible. Look, you could preach a wonderful sermon out of Psalm 91 and God's protection if you'll stay in those boundaries of Psalm 91. Beautiful, beautiful truths. It's interesting to know that that's the passage that Satan quoted to the Savior. Notice this, and it's so awesome to know what Satan... Notice right where Satan stopped. He ends at verse 12, right? Look at verse 13. Before we do this, just a second. Satan's as a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So he's compared to a lion. Then Satan in Genesis 3 is called a serpent, right? Which is a snake. So the snake and the lion can be pictures of the devil in the Bible, right? Read verse 13. Ready? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. And just in case you missed it, he quotes it a different way. God gives us two pictures of it. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Satan's referred to there four times. Who's the dragon? 13 times in the book of Revelation, the word dragon is used to describe Satan. So isn't that amazing? Satan knew not to quote verse 13 because he knew that Psalm 91 is talking about the Lord Jesus. Because God tells the Lord Jesus in Psalm 91, verse 13, you're going to trample the adder. And what did Jesus do on Calvary? He stepped on the head of the snake, Satan, and destroyed him. So Satan is not going to quote verse 13. But isn't that amazing? Then watch this. If Satan can get you to... Now I'm just going back to the passages here. If Satan can get you to live for self by twisting the Bible, then you can't defeat him. God protects you from Satan's pitfalls and lets you see Satan's deceptions when you set your love on the Lord. That's part of Psalm 91. Because he has set his love on me and made me his habitation. Okay, that's Psalm 91. All right. Psalm 91 is talking about the Lord Jesus, and he was its perfect fulfillment. Satan knew just how to twist God's word. Now, the place I'd like you to go to Matthew 13. Just because someone is saying something from the Bible doesn't mean that they're spiritual, and it doesn't mean that they're being you And it also doesn't mean that they're being used to the devil. When they told you what the Bible said, all right, did you look to see if God really said that? Someone says, you know, preacher, your style of preaching is a little different. I want you to turn in your Bibles to look and see what's being preached and see where we're coming from. It does two things. It shows you that I'm not twisting Scripture, and the second thing it's doing, it's helping you learn the Bible. Amen? Kind of double cut there. When somebody quoted you the Bible, did you make sure it wasn't a verse taken out of context? That is Satan's specialty. Did the context bother them or appear to mess up their purpose and their agenda? Which is why they only used a portion of the verse. If Satan does this, his ministers also do it. The Bible says, no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Listen closely, and this is the hard part of Christianity to accept, because we're Americans. There are ministers who represent God but speak for the devil all over America. And they say, okay, you say, are you sure? They say it's all right to divorce your wife because you're in love with another woman. There's plenty of pastors that say that because it fits society. Just because, okay, and here's what they'll say. Well, God's love, and love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's a lot of Bible. That's 1 John 4. It's not in context, but that's their reason. Well, yeah, so you love her? Oh, yes. Well, sounds like a good thing then. Because God is love. Time out! Time out! In our day and age, everything is accepted in the name of love. You need to know something. That's a lie. That's a lie. There are people who say they love Jesus, but they live for themselves, bow down to the altar of self, and are consumed with self, but they view themselves as Christians. You know it's of Satan because God never gets the glory from what they do. Never. They get the glory. Stupid question. I'm in love with this woman. Should I marry her? Oh, yes. Well, that's why I'm leaving my wife. And, well, okay. That glorified them. That doesn't glorify the Lord. Right? That exalts self. But that's called Christian psychology nowadays. And they'll quote you Bible verses while they tell you to sin. Leave out half of verses on marriage. They'll quote some of the verses, but leave half of the verses out. It's garbage what's happening in the name of Christianity. That's how Satan uses the Scriptures. Now, how do Satan's servants use the Scriptures? You're in Matthew 13. Look at verse 18. Ready? Matthew 13. Look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, amazing verse. And you need to remember this. Satan's workers seek to prevent the effectiveness of the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound, and Satan is powerless to prevent the Word of God from going forth. However, the devils and unclean spirits that are always present as the seed is being sown, work upon the ears and the hearts and the minds of the hearers to prevent the Word of God from taking root. Satan's always fighting the Bible. He's always fighting the Bible. So while you're in church with a Bible in your lap, listening to me preach the Bible, no one around you is saying a word, yet you hear this voice that says, I just don't think he needs to be saying that. I know some nice ministers. Nobody's talking to you, but it's on the inside. I didn't say everybody, but sometimes it can happen. Someone is telling you, while you're in church, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Who is that? It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. Every time the Word of God is preached, someone or something is going to be there to tell you not to believe what you're hearing. You say, what authority? Matthew 13. This is Satan is here. Yeah, Satan comes to church. I've seen Satan in church. Not physically. I've seen Satan use people in church. Use them. No, Satan does come to church. The devils and the demons do come to church. Have you ever noticed this? There's nothing that fights you to not believe a sporting or event or a movie when you sit down to watch TV. Have you ever noticed that? Nothing like the cooking show, you know? You watch it. I'm not telling you to watch anything. I'm just trying to pick anything, all right? But if you watch a cooking show, oh, yeah, a little pepper, a little salt there, a little egg, a little onion, little, you know, however you, that's my favorite cook, okay? But when you're watching that, there isn't a voice inside you going, that'll never work, that tastes awful. There's no opposition. There's no opposition. He drops back, he looks for an open line, he passes it. It's gone. Oh, it's intercepted. No, it wasn't. Nobody, you understand, when you sit down to do anything except read your Bible, you don't have that opposition. But God says, when you sit down and hear the Bible, the only time there's a cry on the inside of you not to believe what you're hearing is when the Bible is being preached. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Can you go there? Can you go there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Watch this. That's why when somebody says, oh, you're teaching on the King James Bible. Oh, what a... There's always been a satanic Bible. This is not new with 1600 on. Christians, all the way back from the Waldensians and all of our ancient history, have always had two Bibles to choose from because Satan has always presented an imposter. It's just we deal with English versions and the differences, but there has always been a battle of the Bible. Why? Because there's a real devil. There's a real devil. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13. I've read it to you, and I want you to see it for yourself in your Bible. Ready? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, I wish you'd just mark it and think about it. Therefore, it is no great thing if his, Satan's, ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan has ministers, and they look like they represent God. All right? How can you tell if Satan's ministers are from God or not? Look at verse 3. Ready? You're in 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that's Genesis 3, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, small s, which means it's not the Holy Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Listen closely. How did Satan beguile Eve? It wasn't with alcohol or drugs or immorality. It was no sin like that. All Satan did was he added to the Word of God, then he diminished the Word of God, then Satan twisted the Scriptures and told her things God never said. God tells us through the Holy Spirit in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that we should be concerned about people who talk about Jesus but aren't telling the truth. I personally like how Joel Osteen dresses when he speaks. Sharp-dressed guy. More expensive suits than I got, amen. He doesn't dress down in a sweatshirt and wear flip-flops on stage and, you know, I like it that he smiles when he speaks. I can't do that. I can every once in a while, but I can't do it the whole time. I'm just, take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any creature that the Lord God had made in the garden. I can smile a little bit, but I can't smile the whole time. Do you understand? If I did that, my wife, when we got home, she'd go, honey, that's terrible. Now listen closely. I'm talking about Joel Osteen. I'm glad that he's polite. I'm glad he's a gentleman. It's just a shame that he's a liar. He preaches a Jesus that's not in the Bible. He preaches a gospel that's not in the Bible. If someone tells people that Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, and you don't have to believe on him, and you don't have to believe the Bible, that is a serpent. Right? God taught us that back in Genesis 3. But he looks right. But he sounds right. But he smiles right. And if you don't know the Bible, you'll think he's right. But if you know your Bible, you can't stomach that stuff for 10 minutes. Right? Listen to me. If you can't tell the difference between the Bible and a Joel Osteen or a Joyce Meyer or a Rick Warren, it would have to be because you didn't either know the Scriptures or you don't care what the Scripture says. But instead, people are interested in how someone makes them feel. And that's a dangerous place to be because the devil can make you feel real good. It's amazing how many people use emotion to determine, well, it was so spiritual. And normally it's in reference to a music service. Some rock concert that got the emotions worked up, and then they call it spiritual. That's a dangerous place to be. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Look, as someone that tries to help young Christians and tries to disciple us and help us, the hardest thing I see Christians struggle with is this fact that there are Christians out there that aren't Christian. You can't believe everything with that label. But that's hard. That's a hard... You mean, really? Yeah. We've seen some verses like that. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Ready? He says here, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, watch this, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or damned. Okay, the word accursed, defined, it means damned to hell. It doesn't get any stronger than that. And just in case you missed it, he's going to say it again in the next verse. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The word's used twice. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? And I love this. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What a verse. God says that if someone calls themselves a minister and changes the gospel, you're supposed to treat them like they are accursed or damned to hell. That's stout. That's stout. Oh, we're supposed to love everybody. You've been programmed. Okay, are you supposed to love the devil? No. But we're supposed to love everybody. It's amazing what's being sold. Jesus is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. Calling on the name of Jesus is the only way you're saved. Acts 4:12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the only way to heaven is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins and was buried and rose again. Since we know that's true, the Catholic Church is accursed. The Church of Christ ministers are accursed. The Mormons are accursed. The Jehovah's Witnesses are accursed. It is scriptural to view them that way, and it is unscriptural to view them any other way. Any other way. Satan never said, there's no God. Satan just said, God didn't say that. God didn't say that. The only people who get upset at dogmatic, authoritative preaching is because they themselves have doubts about God's word. When they can't trust their Bible because they use every version under the sun, or they got their favorite 3 or their favorite 2, the last thing they want to hear is authoritative preaching that says, thus saith the Lord. Verses like Galatians chapter 1 anger people. I didn't write it. I'm just the messenger. I just read it. And praise God, I don't change it. I don't change it. Go take your Bible and go to... Now let's look at this third group of Satan's men. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Go to Matthew chapter 2. We've looked at Satan and the Scriptures. We see how he adds to, takes away, and then twists. All right? Then we looked at Satan's servants, and we see how they are transformed into ministers of light, and what they do with the Word of God. Let's look at this third group. Notice verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Notice verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, they're going to quote the Bible now, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, now Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So they quote out of the minor prophets there. Then look at verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. Look at verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Listen closely. Herod wanted to know what the Bible said about Jesus so he could kill him. There are men who study the Bible and print materials on the Bible designed to destroy the Christian's faith in the Bible. Men who study the Bible to critique it. They specialize in looking for mistakes. Men who study the Bible to find fault with it. Men who study the Bible to justify their sin. There's plenty of Bible studies to show that drinking alcohol is not a sin that use John 2 and Jesus turning water into wine. I've told every person, if you're going to use the Bible to justify your sin, I can show you 360 verses where God says putting alcohol in your body is a sin. I'd be scared to death to use God's word to justify a sin that I wanted to pet. Amen? Amen? I said, that you're on dangerous ground there. Satan helps the Jesuits study the Bible so that they can destroy the Bible. Satan's always willing to help anyone. Quote Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest ye be judged. How many times have you heard that verse quoted? If they're willing to stand against Bible... okay, it's always because they're willing to stand against Bible standards and convictions. Satan has people that study the Bible so they can destroy the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has people who say we have the perfect and pure Word of God in the originals, which is something they've never seen and don't have because they don't exist and they've not existed for thousands of years. Call any church and talk to the pastor. Call any church and ask them, hey, someone just gave me this Bible and can I believe every word? Are there any words here that are translated wrong? Ask the pastor. Are there any words in this Bible that shouldn't be here? And unless you call this church or Brother Connor and just a few others, they'll answer you, well, why do you want to know that? We have a wonderful praise and worship team. They'll start in on stuff. They will say almost all versions are good except the King James Bible. There seems to be a common denominator between liberal politicians, perverts, and homosexuals. Have you noticed? They all hate the King James Bible. Somebody told me when I was a young Christian, you're going to learn it as a saved Christian. The battle is not which Bible. It's all against one book. And you're going to learn that now or later. But it's against God's book. That's where all the chips land. Take your Bible and go to Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 17. Watch this. We're going to go to three more places tonight, and I want you to see this. Satan and the Scriptures. Satan always fights the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I have. When I got saved, I don't use other versions of the Bible. I use the King James, but I've heard the testimony of the man. He said he was dealing with a demon-possessed girl. I don't do this because I don't guinea pig. I've only seen two exorcisms. Somebody called the church when we were in Tennessee and asked if we'd come by, and the lady said, I'm hearing voices, and can you come here and help? Okay, I went with my pastor. I was an assistant pastor then, and I've only seen two times where demons are cast out of people, okay? So I wouldn't have done this. But the guy said that the girl that was possessed by the devil, he said he held an NIV to her, and she didn't bother it. She was just, he got the King James Bible close to her, and she started, so then he said he did it again. And you know, then he preached a sermon called No Light and Light. Thought it was very interesting. Have I ever seen that? No. Have I ever done that? I had no reason to not believe him. Okay? But it was interesting. The King James Bible is your book with power. Let's look at these verse here on Satan. I just want to draw your attention to one word. Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 17. Watch this. This is God telling what happened to Satan in the garden. It says here, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. So Satan took the wisdom of God that God gave him and he corrupted it. Right? It says, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Now take your Bible. Notice the word corrupted. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 3. We've been here once tonight, but just watch this. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, look at chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, Satan lifted up, listen closely, Satan lifted up himself against God, and as a result, he was corrupted. Watch. He got Eve to lift herself up against God, and as a result, she was corrupted. What does Satan want you to do? What does Satan want me to do? To lift up ourselves against God so that we can be corrupted. And what's the fastest way to lift yourself up? You're in 2 Corinthians 11, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, Satan will try to get you by corrupting the word of God. If Satan can get you to doubt the word of God, then because it becomes corrupt in your eyes, you can't trust your Bible. And if you can't trust the word of God, you then exalt yourself over the word of God and you become corrupted. When people are reading versions of the Bible that have words added to them, words removed, words twisted around, they're being corrupted. Look, in the past 100 years, with all the over 200 English Bibles to choose from, if you want to order them online, then you'd think with all the Bibles out there, we'd be a godlier society. And we're not. You'd think we just got the Bible in any version you want. And we're becoming more and more godless. We're becoming what? Corrupted. Corrupted. Take your Bible. Last scripture we'll go to. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. Back there near Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. A few books there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You all see the incorruptible? If you have a King James Bible, you have incorruptible seed. You're born again of the word of God. That's what it says, right? You're born of this book. If you have a corrupted Bible, then how can you grow spiritually? And that's exactly what you're watching happen. Because if Satan can corrupt the scriptures, then you become corrupted. This book, praise God, our King James Bible is not corrupt. The King James Bible, notice this, it never exalts itself against God. God's Word, this Bible, never exalts you above God. The Bible never makes me the focal point and God secondary. This book is not corrupt. People want Bible studies where they get to share their opinions and then everybody gets to go home leaving being their own God. We had somebody come here to this church last year. They said, my biggest frustration, I went to their home and I visit, and they said, I just don't like the way you do Bible studies. When I do a Bible study, I want to be able to give my opinion. And I looked right at the lady and I said, ma'am, really? I said, so when I do a Bible study, I'm supposed to go, what do you think? 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 I said, we'd get nowhere. Her husband looked right at me and goes, yeah, he's right. Tell her I'm right. Yeah. And while you're at it, run your home. Her biggest frustration with our church was she didn't like preaching. She wanted to come to a Bible study and say, you know, when I was reading my Bible, I got this out of it. And I just think this. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm not going to run the church that way. I said, and I'm not doing it that way. I said, I don't find anything in the Bible where you're supposed to do that. They came a couple more times and then they quit. And they said, my biggest frustration with your church is you don't allow me to give my opinion in your Bible studies. Would you like me to code that for you? My biggest frustration with your church is I don't get to be God. I don't like authoritative preaching. And sweet people, there's nothing I wouldn't do for them. I'd help them. I'm not against them. I'm not fighting against them. I'm trying to let you know that's what's out there. It's garbage. It's garbage. We live in a day when people have corrupted themselves and have exalted themselves against God, and they're not going to let God's word tell them what to do. Satan is a subtle liar. And aren't you glad tonight you have the perfect, pure words of God? Let's pray. Father, thank you.